What up, everybody? Welcome to the Damn Dude Podcast.
Damn Dude.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Journey to Inner Peace Part 3. And man, what an interesting journey. So, hopping right into this, just to kind of recap us, going back, this whole thing kind of started with panic attacks, freakouts, freaking out, running away from my job, anxiety to the max, panic attacks, all that shit, right? Then from there, moved into personal development, meditation, shit like that. At the same time I'm going through all this, I'm like fighting my ego and discovering my ego and all of this sorts of stuff. excuse me. So my one thing I want that I feel like how my ego thinks and talks about shit to itself, it's like a little bit something like this.
Your mainstream backslide, offbeat sampling, karaoke bar, lip syncing, half of nothing, publishing, double copper selling, poop butt ass motherfuckers. Get out of style! You understand?
You poo butt ass motherfuckers, get out and stay out. You understand me? Oh, that shit is classic. No, but you know what I mean? Like, dude, that shit happens. One thing that I noticed was hard with this whole struggle was my dress code. I had to always make sure I was like either hard, like I made sure I kind of like looked hard or was like banged out or like something like that. So we're just going to jump right back into this because right now with my current timing, I've only got time to film the first half of this episode right now. And I'm going to have to come back and film the second half later. Because I got work and shit. Anyway, get to Peru. We get to the jungle. We enter the place. We find out where we sleep. We're going to be sleeping in this hut. And there's fucking two little beds. I mean, like little like rollouts. With, you know, a little, like, mat and a bug net around it. And I'm like, we really need this shit? And, you know, like, fuck. Okay. Where then it's, like, the bugs and just... They have these, like, ants that are the most hardcore... I don't even understand. It's, like, you can literally stomp on them and squish and wiggle your heel back and forth. And then they just get up and walk. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, it's so weird. There have been times where you can literally chop it with a machete and it just fucking, like, doesn't chop in half somehow. You're like, what the fuck? You gotta, like, go out a few times. And the only reason you fuck with these things, you do this is because they attack the shit out of you. And they will eat and they bite. Oh, my goodness, they bite, dude. And it actually hurts pretty bad. And... so it's like, all right, whatever, you know, I'm trying not to kill shit, you know, the best of my abilities, especially for no reason, not for no reason. All right, so the first, let me think about this. So I explained the dieta. Oh, okay. So, oh yeah, that was part of our backtrack was got into meditation and then decided I was going to the middle of the jungle to go and fucking do ayahuasca and learn some shit from tribes people. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go. So we get out there and I'm like, reflecting on all the times I've ever used psilocybin, you know, mushrooms, or, you know, I had really deep meditations and I'm just like thinking about it as trippy as it could be, or even like very intense spiritual experiences or different things. Even with weed, I've had really deep, powerful spiritual experiences. And so we go and we learn. And so we did the whole dieta. We're fasted, we're cleansed, the whole thing, ready to go. Boom. First night is, I prefer, you could do it at daytime, but it's supposed to be done at nighttime most typically, and I prefer it at nighttime. I've done both. So we get there, we go in the Maloka, everybody's, you know, we're sitting there, we're meditating, there's the shaman, there's me, Jen, there's a few other people there, and it's cool because I'm so happy Jen told me. She was like, dude, like, no matter what you see me looking like, acting like, whatever, like, while this is all going on, like, just know that I'm okay, and just worry about yourself, do your own thing. You know, everybody has their own experience, and for some people it looks crazy and traumatic and this and that, and sometimes you can see things, and, you know, it's like, just chill, like, I trust you're good, whatever, you know, I'll be okay, trust that. And I'm like, fuck, like, what the hell? Okay. So she told me that, and she's all jacked up over there, or like later on, you know, and I'm just like, oh, what do I do? Anyway, that's a whole nother, we'll get into that too. excuse me. So we sit down to do the ceremony. It's nighttime. We're in the middle of the jungle. It's pitch black. Like pitch black. Like you can't even see like your hands in front of you type of like pitch black. And so we go and we're meditating. And the shaman, you know, Maestro, he tells us, Maestro Eladio, he tells us like, all right, like just meditate, you know, just really get in tune with yourself, become at peace, you know, really put yourself in a good place, you know. And, you know, just get really like centered and stuff. So like, all right, cool. And this is after teaching us a whole bunch of stuff for that whole first week and learning about the plants and learning different songs and learning different things and methods and reasons and philosophies and understandings and things like that. So, excuse me. So I'm like, all right, man, I'm fucking ready, dude. So I'm sitting there. We go around and he calls each person up one at a time. And I'm like, all right. So we go up and kind of like, man, I feel like as much as I could describe this, I'm really not doing it like justice of how, like, what this feels like, you know, just to even be there without doing anything, you know. And it's very, you know, it's very ritualistic and very spiritual. And it's not just rituals just to do rituals, it's not just blind faith rituals. It's like legit, like, all right, we're going to cleanse this. Oh, so before we started too, I mentioned this, I want to make sure I just tap back on it real quick, is like, we did a tobacco cleanse also before this. So they make this tobacco juice where it's like, they use like tobacco and coffee and they, oh, you drink it and you're supposed to just like puke crazy, and it's to help you cleanse and purge whatever bullshit you've been eating or whatever, you know. And especially because here in the States, like, we eat some fucked up stuff, you know, just kind of in general. So anyway, we do that. I take mine. Everybody's throwing up. I don't throw up. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, am I gonna die? Everybody's like cracking up, and like I can't even fully ask because Jen, she's over there puking and she's my translator, and I'm like, oh fuck, my translator can't talk, like what the fuck. Like, what do I get, like damn, man, like fuck, now I really can't talk to anybody. Like, I'm just here like, oh, what do I do, just motioning my hands and, you know, rubbing my stomach, and at the same time I'm chilling, I'm not freaking out, you know. In my brain, my brain keeps going back and forth and freaking out. So that happens, and they're like, oh no, you're just going to have to take a crazy shit later, bro. Like, no, like, that's terrifying. And they're all just cracking up. And it was weird because like nothing actually happened. Like, my body just fucking like took it and just digested it. And then like there was nothing dramatic from like with that happening. You know, I had to go to the bathroom later, but it wasn't like, oh my god, you know, like, I guess because I was already so cleansed, you know, my body was like, bro, like, we're good, actually. So, like, all right, cool. Anyway, fast forward, we go on to the nighttime, and the shaman goes around, does his blessings, and, you know, kind of does little prayers, and, you know, just blessings, and goes around with the rose water and all this stuff. Well, first, he blesses the ayahuasca, and it's basically to make ayahuasca. A lot of people get confused because there's the ayahuasca plant itself, the vine. Ayahuasca is a vine, and it has little leaves that kind of grow off of it. And if you see, I don't know where it's at, but my necklaces, a lot of times that I wear this, you can see the little brown thing in the middle. That's ayahuasca. Anyway, or it's like a piece of it. So you mix that with this other plant called chacruna, and you boil them up and you cook it, and you say, you make your intentions with it, and different maestros have different methods and recipes and blends and stuff like that. So it's pretty fascinating. We actually got to make our own at one point. It was really fucking cool. And so he does the blessings. And he's blessing it, and he pulls the... Oh, wow, I just thought of what it tasted like. Sorry. If you've done it, and you think of what it tastes like, it'll make... Most people can make you start gagging. Sorry, that was, like, really out of nowhere. The taste is absolutely Ugh, disgusting, dude. There's nothing that I can. It's the most. It makes my stomach all woozy, dude. Like, I'm not even kidding, man. I got a pretty fucking strong stomach, dude. Like, I'm not kidding. But that taste, it just makes me want to gag. Every time, I'm just like, when I'm down, and I just got to swallow. And, like, you're not supposed to drink a lot of water. I mean, you're not supposed to drink water during the ceremony and stuff either. Not till, like, after or later. Unless you really need to. But sometimes I'll just take and swish my mouth and spit in the bucket, you know. So the trick is like, so when you go up there, you know, I receive it, I see everybody doing it, it's my turn, I go up, and I'm like so nervous, and I'm so at peace all at the same time, which is really trippy. So I'm there, and I'm kind of like, I just felt very grateful, like, to be in this space. Like, I recognize not just anybody gets to be there, or not even gets to be there, but is like, yeah, I guess gets to be there in any context, you know. So I felt very blessed and fortunate. So I was just very humbled and like, wow, like, very in an appreciative state and just very open and very clear-minded, you know. I'm like, wow, this is, I still don't know what the fuck I'm, I mean, I understand the plants and what they just taught me in this last week. Other than that, I got no other understanding and no, you know, like, nothing to really, like, hold it to. So I'm thinking mushrooms, okay, you know, it's maybe kind of like that, whatever. And in my, after the fact, I look at it and I think that mushrooms is like a, like, I think all the plant medicines, when we look at it, are related. And I would consider psilocybin mushrooms to be a plant medicine, ayahuasca, marijuana. You know, it definitely gets abused. I would say I abuse it for sure. But it definitely is a medicine, especially when used properly, you know. But anyways, it's a whole nother conversation. So I take it and I drink it and, oh man, it just, it is just the thickest, like, it's like dark brown and it's thick and it's really thick. And, oh man, what else? It's just such a distinct taste. I can't even say what it tastes like, because it's not that it tastes like plants or that it tastes like tea or that it tastes like alcohol or that it tastes like food of anything or that it tastes like any, like, substance. You know, it's like some things taste like coins or something. Like, there's no, like, element or thing that I can compare what this tastes like. And if you've eaten mushrooms and stuff, like, you know, that could be, that's not that bad. But I mean, like, if we were to compare these two in terms of taste and how you consume it, you can chew on full fucking mushrooms and that experience is not even a fraction of how gnarly it is to, like, really drink ayahuasca. Some people have had experiences where they're like, you know, it actually kind of tasted good. But that's after doing it a bunch of times, or just, you got a weird fucking palate or something. I don't know, bro. Because there's people who drink piss and eat shit and they do that. And I'm not really trying to do any of that. So I'm like, you know, I'm cool, bro. Like, there's some things, it's like, some people will eat, some people won't. And ayahuasca tastes so bad, dude. Like, I don't know. I think I've only heard one person be like, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was whatever. But either, I don't, anyway, let's get into this deeper before we run out of time. Before we got to go to break, I should say, because only I realized that there's a whole fucking whatever break in between. Anyways, so, I take mine, I drink it. I'm like drinking it like, holy shit, like, all right. So I go and I lay down and I'm just like, or I'm like sitting there forever in my body. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. I think I was expecting something to happen. And I kind of started having the experience of, like, before taking mushrooms, of kind of like, all right, like, you know, what's going to happen. After doing, it's kind of like, you know what to expect and you can kind of have an awareness of the body sensations that start occurring. But with this, it was like, it wasn't really happening. And then I was like trying to force it or something maybe. And then all of a sudden I just laid back and then I would kind of get like, I don't know. I have no concept of time when I was there, you know. And I lay back and I'm just kind of like not asleep and not awake. I'm like awake in dream state. That's pretty much what it's like. And it's like you have the most simple way I can describe what it's like being on ayahuasca is like being awake and present in your dream state to where you can like ask questions that really pertain to the deepest depths of your life and things that will help you. Even if it's like a horrific things that you're seeing, it's like you have to relive those to heal them. And that is how you heal it. It's just like a cut or a broken bone. It's like in order to heal, it has to like mend together and it has that pain, that itchiness that it has to occur, you know? So I lay back and it's like nothing's going on. And finally, I just start meditating. And then that brings me fully. I'm like, okay, like meditation helped me so fucking much. And my experience with psilocybin, I'm like, okay, you know? So I kind of start, I guess people would say, like blasting off. But it was weird because it just, nothing was happening. I finally just gave up. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to just lay here, take a nap, I guess. And then as soon as I kind of let go, I was so attached to some outcome or some experience that as soon as I let go, I was like, I went in like, like, my soul took my brain and its thoughts and its questions and its ego and its creativity and its all of that. It took all of it and was like, let's go to space. Like, I got to bring myself into my dream world and into my thought world and into my creative world and into my analytical world and into my, however, you know, all of those worlds that we don't really acknowledge as its own world, you know? But really, like, our thoughts are their own world. There's universes inside of our thoughts. There's gods inside of our thoughts. There's fucking things that we deny in our thoughts. There's things that happen and we say never happen. There's things that we, you know, like, want to happen. There's things we wish happen. There's all these, there's fucking universes in our, you know, within each of our thoughts, you know? That's crazy. So I realized, I go into space and I guess my deepest curiosity I had at that moment was, what's at the end of space? Because in my mind, I had always seen space as deeper than the ocean. And even though the ocean is deep as can fucking go and we haven't even seen the bottom of it, I've just kind of been like, well, what? Because I would love to know what's at the bottom of the ocean, but that's also terrifying. At the same time, I would love to know. Anyway, I go up to space because I'm curious. I'm like, I want to know what it's like up here. What's it look like? Like, what's going on? What happens? You know? And I'm like, I got up there. I'm like, oh, man. Like, it looks exactly the same as it does from down there, just from a different angle.
Damn, dude.
And I'm kind of cracking up at that. I'm like, damn, like, that's what I wanted to know so badly. And then kind of like the shaman was going through the songs and the songs were taking me into different aspects. So the first one kind of was like this openness, like this is a celebration. This is, we're welcoming, you know, everybody's cooling. Like we're coming in very grateful. We're asking for thanks. We're giving thanks. Here's our thanks. And we're just going in and we're singing and we're going and it's just beautiful, man. And like, we give thanks to Pachamama. That's, you know, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, and you know, you're singing the songs, and I just got that whole appreciation for the earth and the world. And then all of a sudden, the next Ikaro, the next song, he starts going, and he's just singing the voice. That is just so powerful. Oh my gosh. And so I came back from space and I'm like, all right, like that looked the same, but it wasn't like I was just like, oh, like I was up there, like in real curiosity, just fucking floating. And then the next thing comes on, boom, shoo, straight into my body, straight into my wrist. And if you've been following, especially the last few episodes before the last few episodes, before the Journey to Inner Peace episodes, I talked about psoriasis a lot and how to heal it. And that's kind of what kicked off this whole like episode, or like this whole series, actually. So it was crazy because where I had it the worst and where it stemmed from was my left wrist. And like, my left side, I should say, like my left hand, because it would be on my fingers and my wrist and it would just be so fucking itchy. It would drive me crazy. I would scratch myself till I would just be bleeding, dude. It would be bad. And I would have nightmares where I would get attacked by snakes at night when I was sleeping, like in the past, prior to this whole ayahuasca thing, which is fucking crazy that there's something that kind of all ties together. But I would get bit in my sleep by this snake all the time. And I'll be like, ah, and it'll bite my wrist or my hand. And I'll wake up and I'll be freaking out and be so itchy and whatever. But the reality was, well, and the and another piece of reality that was occurring at the same time in that dream, because that dream was showing and telling me something. That was me scratching, tearing myself up in my sleep. So no matter what I was doing, I couldn't, I would, like, no matter how much self-control I'd have over the throughout the day of, like, scratching myself, at nighttime, I kept getting bit by this fucking snake in my dreams, and it kept fucking my shit up. And I'm like, oh, I was just getting so mad because it felt like such an endless battle, you know? So the first thing I did was straight into my wrist, and I was like Magic School Bus. Like, I went inside my body and was like, let's go, Arnold. And I just went inside, boom, 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 Master Blasters type shit, fucking boom, 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 boom. I was in there fucking shit up, dude. But it was crazy because what I was fucking up and what I knew to start fucking up was I went in, I see these black mass inside my fucking wrists and in my fingers, but the biggest one was in my wrist. It was like this fucking black, gooey, cancerous, tar ball looking, like, it was like a demon with no soul. It was just meant to be, it was like this, an evil barnacle, like, inside me is, like, what I saw. And I don't know if it was energetic, physical, whatever, but I went in and I just started fucking, boom, I started blasting it. It's just, and disintegrated, like, like asteroids, like the old video game Asteroids. Just blowing shit up to the smallest pieces until, like, the smallest pieces couldn't be shot anymore. And then it was crazy, dude, because as soon as I did that, fucking, I just start puking, and I'm throwing up nasty ass black shit. And this is crazy. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to puke and shit myself, so I'm not gonna do ayahuasca. Like, that's a bullshit excuse for not doing it. That's really, like, the least of your worries. Like, if that's what you're worried about, you're probably, like, very early on some sort of spiritual journey, if any, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, that was my take of it before, and I didn't realize that that was the thing that makes you do that until after. I was like, okay, got it. But that's the thing, it's not bad because you got a bucket and you got tissues. Everything's controlled and clean and you got helpers and it's like nobody's there to judge you and this and that. It's like this way that we have of thinking in America about embarrassment and nudity and barf and poop and this and that. It's like we've got this huge, exaggerated, crazy version of it. But when you're like really out in the jungle, they just understand this is human nature and we go to the root of human nature. So that's why we're not really tripping about this. You know what I'm saying? So to them, they understand, you know, and it's like everything's very sanitary and very clean. There's bathrooms close. There's fucking puke buckets close. There's, you know, the whole thing. So what's crazy is, like I said, I went in, I started blasting the psoriasis, fucking that shit up, man. And so this is crazy because after I was puking, I come back. And the next song is playing, the next Ikaro. And I'm like, holy fuck, I feel so fucking good. I felt like 100 pounds lighter, dude. Like, but it was weird because not physically. I was good physically, you know, I was in good shape physically at the time. But it was like mentally and spiritual. I was just like, what the? And then finally I felt like, oh, wow, like I'm fucking good. I got this. I'm done. Like, I can go home. Like, well, not that I can go home, but I was like, you know, I got shit figured out type of thing. And that's when the motherfucking snake in my dreams came back and he was bigger and stronger. And this motherfucker said, shah, right in my face. And it, like, it stopped like an inch and I fucking freaked. Ah! And it's crazy because sometimes when you're doing ceremony and stuff, you'll hear people start screaming and you'll hear different things and you're like, what the fuck, you know? So you don't know who's going through what, you know? At this particular moment, the snake kept fucking popping up. And the snake kept fucking popping up on me, dude. Like, it just kept doing it, and I was it kept terrifying me, dude, until I had to work through it. And it just kept popping up and kept revisiting me. And all these other fucking wild animals, there was like, it was like this whole challenge, my whole journey was like taming all the animals, becoming one of them and understanding that they are me and I am them.
Damn, dude.
So on that note, we're going to take a break here and we will be right back. Oops. Sorry. Hold on. I meant we will be right back.
Damn, dude.
What up, everybody? We bike. Thank you for holding patiently. And if you're watching the video, you realize it's like a whole different lighting because outside it's like dark and it's a whole different day actually from the time I finished from the time I recorded the first episode. I cannot talk. It's early and I typically don't record in the morning. So I recorded the first half of this episode a couple days ago and now I finished it. I'm finishing it today. The morning that it's due. So without getting too all over the place, I'm here kind of getting ready for work and just kind of catching back up. So I don't want to derail us too far from our original topic and conversations and all of that on the Journey to Inner Peace, part 3. So, well, is this? No, this is part 4 now. 34. Sorry. I'm behind, dude. Episode 34. And so we left off with the snakes popping up and the whole ayahuasca ceremony and all that. Sorry, I'm like catching my own brain back up. I realized when you guys listening right now, you're only listened like a couple seconds ago to what was last said. So I'm sitting here filling myself in, going over all my last notes. But I've got to get ready to go teach some babies here pretty soon. So that's why I'm kind of like scattered and I don't have a lot of time. And like I said, I'm typically not a morning person. And at the same time, that's totally cool. So bear with me here. So one thing that happened was I went in and I started blasting this. Or first I went to space. I went in my hands, started blasting stresses. And then I just start like, I don't even know what to call it. I just started having a conversation. And basically for me, like ayahuasca, if you hear me refer to ayahuasca as her or she or Mama Aya or something like that, that's because ayahuasca to me is like a grandmother / like great aunt type of figure. Like the energy, and she talks, she communicates. And in my experience, when I'm on ayahuasca, when I'm doing it, when I'm doing the ceremonies and I'm on the journey, I'm like asking questions of her. And it's crazy because she'll only respond to things she needs to respond to, because half the time it's like, you know, the answer, you don't even have to just stop, quiet your brain. And you actually know the answer. Your body knows, you know? So I find it kind of trippy that, you know, I'm like, what? Like certain questions I would ask her, just nothing. And then what was really interesting is she would speak to me in the absolutely most perfect way that my interpretations are able to interpret things. Like she was speaking my language to such a maximum degree that not many words had to be said. It was like if I had the smartest thinking going on in my head for myself, but like I can communicate with it. It was like, well, this is a trippy way to think about this. Like, imagine if you can communicate. Well, we can, but imagine just this context, I guess. Imagine communicating with your thoughts. And it's like, that's a weird thing to think about, but like, to communicate with your thoughts would be to have a conversation as your being, your soul, who you are, conversing with the part of our brain and self that's absorbed everything from outside world and experience in life. It's a collective of all those experiences, and then we're comparing our true inner self to all of our collective life experiences. Now, which one are we? Are we both? Are we neither? Are we all? And I guess it really depends how we look at it, what context we look at it, because right now, in order for me to exist, I'm only here existing as a product of everything I've been through. And at the same time, I'm also here existing without any of the stuff I've ever done existing right here, right now.
Damn, dude.
So it's like trippy, right? Like, because right here, right now, I can't bring anything from the past to right here, with the exception of all these physical items. That's the only thing. Like, I can't even prove without cameras and technology. Like, I can't even. Well, that's not true. I was gonna say I can't prove that I was here yesterday, but I can. I mean, I guess if I were to rearrange rocks or like do some shit like that, you know, I don't know. That's a whole nother subject. Anyway, so one thing that this kind of ties together, and I'm kind of having like trying to think how to paint this so it makes sense for people who don't have experience with this type of stuff. So like I said, the snake kept popping up and there's all these animals and I'm in the jungle the whole time, like for reals. And there is like, to me, I was always like afraid of animals and things like that. Like those were my two scariest things, like animals and like spirits, ghosts and shit. Those are the two things that scared me absolutely more than anything before. And now I'm fucking completely cool with ghosts, spirits, all that stuff. I got no, not even, you know, like I'll be a little what, but you know, there's some dark shit that'll spook me here and there, but not much. My light's pretty bright and big enough to hold my own, you know. And animals, I still go back and forth with them, but at the same time, like when I was in the jungle, I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night. It was like maybe like 2-3 in the morning, and I'm like walking, and the bathroom's like far away from the where I'm sleeping, so I gotta walk through the jungle a little bit. I mean, granted, you could just go in the jungle, but it's like how it was set up, it would make more sense, because it's kind of like in the little village, they carve out a little section in the jungle, so to go out in, it's like to go out of the little village thing, you know, it, like the little village is still the jungle, but it's just got some spaces cleared, right? So as opposed to just walking in the deep thick brush where there's like danger, you know, like I stay in the little village and I'm still, there's still wild animals inside of there, you know, because there's no fences or nothing, you know. So one time, this is a complete side note, by the way, just to get back to this, I was walking, and I'll tie this all to it. I was walking and I'm going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I don't want to be disrespectful and just pee in their little area or whatever, you know, take a shit there or something. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to the bathroom and I hear a fucking tiger in the bushes. And keep in mind, it's like 2:33 in the morning. And I've heard all these stories about tigers and how my teacher had killed two tigers in the past, not out of like some crazy shit, but like out of self-defense. He's grown up in the jungle, born and raised. So I'm like, yo, they're really out here. Jaguars are out here, fucking anacondas, snakes, all these crazy things. And keep in mind, like, dogs fucking freak the fuck out of me. Like German shepherds are probably like the scariest dog to me, but like, but anyway, I was just so, I'm out there and I hear and I kind of see something in the bush, and like, and it's out, and then I hear this like, you know, that little like growl purr, you know, it's like, you can't actually see it, but you can kind of, and then you kind of, and then I kind of, I don't know if I'm imagining it, cause I like, you know, flip switch as soon as I hear that. And I'm like, and you hear monkeys and you hear all these other things, and birds and all that. But then like, when you hear that growl, that I'm just like, but I remember it was crazy because I was so fucking open and just full of love. And so I had such a clarity on who I am versus who my influenced and learned and taught brain is, that I separated every fear I've ever had of animals and ghosts and all this shit. And I literally just stood up and I put my chest up, I put my shoulders back, I put my head up, And I stopped in my tracks and I just stared in the direction of where this tiger's at. And I remember I just like, I don't even know what you would call it. I guess I started like doing, and this just kicked in out of nowhere. Like I couldn't tell you, like I don't know why, how, or where this came from, but I just very bold and like just, I felt like I was glowing and I was just fucking like, you know, like Dragon Ball type shit. And fucking, and I remember I just did this like, it would be equivalent to like, you know how people pray and they give thanks and stuff like that? It was almost like a warrior's prayer. Like, it's like a don't fuck with me type of prayer. Like a protection prayer. There you go. Like, you know what? Like, we come with love. I am love. I come with love. I represent love. And if you come and you try and disrupt this and you try and break it, you try and shit on it, you try and take that away, we're going to fuck your shit up out of love.
Damn, dude.
So it's out of love. We're going to fuck your shit up. Don't even, bro. Like, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up, tiger. It was just more like, I'm saying that's like the energy of it, like the spirit, you know? And I had that. It was almost like this telekinesis. It wasn't even a prayer because I wasn't stopping. I wasn't consciously thinking. I was just like, it was just like coming out of like my fucking soul, you know? It was like, it was almost like my heart and like my third eye were just boom, like bam, like ultimate protection, just shoo, you know, like fucking Hadouken type of shit. And I think that, see, this is what's crazy is because I did not see it. I can't say factually or not if there was a tiger or jaguar there, and at the same time if there was or wasn't, I stood there completely believing there was one.
Damn, dude.
And then I slowly turned and I got this like communication back, almost like this energetic telekinesis, like this feeling, this vibe, this like random information just popped into my head after I did that. Is just like, I guess the best way I could put it is just like, yo, I see you, homie. Like, you know, it's like, I know what it was like. For those of you, especially anybody grew up in the hood or gangbang era or just familiar with that stuff, I guess you only have to be from the hood, but bullies or whatever. And you know, you got the big ass kids in there and you got the little fucking skinny, scrappy kid who just like, oh, what's up, you little fucker, blah, 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 talking shit. And then the kid goes, what? And you're just like, whoa, 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 okay, like, damn, like, I see you, homie. And it's like, the little guy knows all the big guys can fuck him up and all the big guys know they can fuck up the little guy. But it's like, yo, you stood your ground. I respect that. We're cool, you know? And that was like the vibe that I got. And I was just like, I cannot believe I did that. So I slowly turned and I just start walking back to the, and I start walking to the bathroom just slowly. I didn't look over my shoulder. I didn't flinch. I was just fully fucking like, I don't know, dude. Like just this confidence that didn't make sense happened. You know, that makes sense. You know, like, so this whole time when I'm going into, so going back to before we went off on that side note, which we'll tie back into it, I'm during ceremony, like, and this is like the first time still, and I'm there and I'm just like seeing different animals, and they would pop up randomly and they would be all animals of the jungle, like fucking, or I mean just all kinds of animals, but mainly jungle animals. There would be like jaguars, tigers, snakes. There'd even be like, that was kind of like all animals, because there'd be like sheep and fucking dogs and cats and, you know, like birds and fuck, what else? Gorillas and monkeys and everything in between are all just cruising. And it's trippy because in this world, in the dream world, in that world, in the ayahuasca world, in the DMT world, in the third eye world, in the spiritual world, in the next realm, in a, not the next realm, but in a different realm, these things kind of exist in different ways. And I don't know, like shit that like we think is made up is actually real there. Like, for example, like dragons and unicorns and Pegasuses are real in that world. It's like, where did these come from and why do people all over the world have pictures of dragons in the oldest shit documented? Why do they have pictures of that shit? You know what I mean? Why is it? Why? Because that's probably what the fuck it was. And going there, it's like, I seen this for myself. And before we did the ceremony, the shaman, he told me, like, I have my animals, I have my crew, I have my people. If you see certain animals show up, if you see certain people, whether they look really scary or not, those are my people. And they're here to protect the entire perimeter of the Maloka, the building where you do the ceremony. And he's like, if you see them, some of them, they're very dark, and I use them, and they help me. I'm like, what? I started getting all spooked. He's like, no, when you have somebody who's willing to do dark things, sometimes there's often times where they are the most loyal and dedicated people if you're their people. And I was kind of like, all right, like, I get that for sure, for sure. So he's like, so he had these two specifically, like these like Indian, like native, like warrior chief type people. And these were some bad motherfuckers, like, but for good reasons. And that's where I was tripped out. It was kind of like when you think about like if you think about like a kid growing up in the cartel, they're doing all this extreme stuff and they think it's for good reasons because they don't know better, you know, something like, I guess that's an example. So it's kind of like they're going hard for what they think is, you know, like, oh, this is a good reason. And it's like, I'm a protector. So that's why I'm willing to fight and kill. And it's like, all right, fair enough. Like, we honor our troops and military and all of that for that. And we consider it noble. So it's kind of that idea. So anyway, like, so I see all these animals and things pop up and all this, but during my whole trip, when I would think about certain things and I'd be having conversations with Mama Aya, when I would get stuck, or I would think I was where I think I understood something more than I actually did, these animals, and most specifically the fucking snake, would go right in my face and go like a big huge one. And then all the animals would show, all of a sudden I'd be like in the grass surrounded by fucking wild gorillas and tigers and lions and jaguars and pumas. And I'm like, and I would just be so, keep in mind at that point, I'm still scared of like house dogs and shit, you know? And it's like, I still get triggered, but I'm okay with dogs, you know, I'm cool with them now, but definitely gets triggered. So it's a trip. So this is kind of the first place I'm in. Oh, and ayahuasca, what she looks like, she's like a very soft, to me, I saw her as like this white, almost like all like white, like what you would call like a light, like how a light is white, kind of like glowing, but like misty and airy, kind of like, and almost had this like look of like a, like almost like the old statues in Italy, kind of just very like slick and serious, and like has this certain youthfulness to it. I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of trippy. Or you know that emoji on the iPhone where it's the one, like it's like that woman, she's like gray and she's like blowing air. She kind of looks like that a little bit. That was what I like would see. And she would just talk to me. She was just so soft and straightforward and loving. And I just couldn't believe it, dude, because I was just tripped out by the thing, by how she would say things to me and what would occur, you know? So I'm like, all right, these damn animals keep popping up. And the snake would literally pop up and I would fall over like physically in real life because it'd be like in my face and I would get scared as fuck and I'll just, oh shit. And I remember the first time I fell over, I was just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, okay. And then, you know, I'm still going. And then the snake just keeps fucking popping up on me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And remember how I told you guys with the psoriasis thing in the first place, how I would actually physically start, like, hurting myself, like, scratching up to where I'm bleeding and shit, was because I would be dreaming that a snake would fucking attack me in my sleep, and it would just be bite onto my wrist, and I couldn't get it off, and it would just fucking, I'd wake up just bleeding everywhere, but it was reality. I would just scratch the shit out of my hand so badly in my sleep, and I was dreaming that it was this fucking snake attacking me.
Damn, dude.
Crazy, right? So now I'm like, yo, you, this fucking snake, this is my chance to beat your fucking ass. I can find you here. But the only way I can find you is when I go here and then you scare me. So this is a fucked up way of finding you every time. But it was like, I went and started seeking him out eventually because he kept fucking scaring me. This kept happening so many times. I would have the most beautiful realizations. And then and I would just be terrified. And then I would have to like, restart, reset, okay, and then I'm just kind of like having conversations about life and myself and asking questions about my childhood and asking how come this and why did this happen and how come this and why did I react this way, why, and I started asking why did people die, why did people this, why did people that, and I was getting answers to everything. Why did I get laughed at in second grade, why did I this, why did I everything, I was asking everything you could possibly imagine that had to do with why I am the way I am. And it's crazy because the fucking snake just kept going, and it would reset. It would reset me with my questions and my thoughts and whatever. So this is crazy because I remember I'm sitting there and I start realizing that holy shit, dude, like I have seen myself as so small and incapable this whole time. I've just been such a victim and laughing at other people and, you know, just not appreciating other success and things like that. And it's like I caught myself there before, you know, and like I realized that damn, I have a big impact on a lot of people because oftentimes I'll go really positive one way and a lot of people are like, yeah, and then I'll do some dumbass shit and people are like, oh man, and then it's just like it goes back and forth. But what I realized was that as this fucking snake kept popping up on me and as I had this vision that I realized the snake kept trying to scare me, and once I finally didn't flinch, I was like, it became this like this game almost where he was like, he was still evil, but he started having fun. And it was weird because he's like, I'm evil for a good reason. He's like, I'm evil for your good to respond. So it's not bad that I'm evil. It's just that I'm, I don't even want to say evil, but I'm of a dark entity. And I'm like, whoa, so it's so basically what I got is not bad that he's bad. That's just his nature. And he's like, I know my nature, so I know my power. If I didn't know my power, could I even be scary? You know, it's like a snake wouldn't even be scary if it didn't recognize its power because it wouldn't know how to use its power. So it wouldn't be a dangerous animal. We would consider it like a lizard, right?
Damn, dude.
Crazy. And that's the way people see harmless snakes sometimes, you know. Now we all have different relationships with animals and whatever, but you get what I'm saying. So what's crazy is as the last time this motherfucking snake right in front of my face, I just stood there smiling at it, and I went rah at it, and it scared, and I'm like, I shook the fucking snake. And as soon as I did that, it just went, ha, you got it. Good job. And then it became my friend. It just laid down, started slithering around my feet and all this shit. It was just cool as fuck.
Damn, dude.
I'm like, huh? What? So what I take from that is as soon as that happened, I like, my like hand, I like moved my hand and it went thud on the floor. And it seemingly felt like the whole floor shook because it's an elevated thing. You feel all the vibrations, right? And it's all just made out of wood. And I had this vision that all of a sudden I was the gorilla, because the gorilla and that pack of animals that kept showing up was the most scary and dangerous animal to me of all of them. But what I realized was, whoa, I am the gorilla. And I was like, but wait, hold on though. There's more to it. So what I ultimately took was that we have to know our own strength, because a gorilla can only be a gorilla.
Damn, dude.
What does that mean? Think about this. This is crazy. It's so simple and it's so deep. If I, boom, my hand thuds on the floor and I'm a gorilla, that's fucking power. That's very powerful. And thud, if I know my power, then I know that that teaches me how to respond to babies and those things of gentler. That also teaches me how to respond and fight for my damn self and protect mine. That teaches me also how to use my instincts and to count on myself and to count on that gut feeling, because a human can only be a human. Calvin can only be Calvin. You can only be you. I can only be me. We can only be we. And once we recognize that power, one hand pounding the table is power. You could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it, we could redirect it. And that's what's so powerful, is that you can only be you. A gorilla can only be a gorilla. A monkey can only be a monkey. A cat can only be a cat. They can try to do other things, and that's cool. But at the same time, it can only be what it is. So the question is, what is it? What are you? If you can only be what you can be, what are you?
Damn, dude.
Damn. Crazy, right? So I just always remember and I think, a gorilla can only be a gorilla. When I start stressing, oh, fuck this, that. Bro, you can only be what you are right now. What are you going to be? What choices are you going to make? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go now? What next? Figure it out. Have fun. This is what life is. That's not meant to fucking stress and freak out. It's meant to excite something. It's meant to wake something up. You know what I mean? So, on that note, make sure you go follow us on... you know what? Sorry. But we're going to wrap this up. And on that note, we're going to catch us on... We're going to come back with part 5, actually, of Journey to Inner Peace. And the next one we'll be going into... We're going to go deeper into ayahuasca and really get to some trippy, fucking tripped out, funkadelic type of shit. So make sure you go follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. That's at Damn Dude Podcast. And be sure to go leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. Much love. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful day. Rooster Tail at Rooster TALE Official on Instagram. Take us out. Much love. Peace. Peace.